Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 92. Lots to talk about this week. First off, we had a very busy week of action. Liga Bwin, Champions League, Europa League. Fernando Santos just announced his squad selections, no real surprise. And now, of course, we are heading toward week 11, round 11 of the Liga Bwin. This will be, of course, the final one before the next international break. And then we kind of find ourselves in a situation where, much like last month, we're going to have about, two full weekends of no Liga Bwin. You'll have this weekend Liga Bwin. The following weekend, of course, will be the national team break. And then, of course, the following weekend after that will be the fourth round of the Taça de Portugal, the Portuguese Cup. So we won't be seeing any Liga Bwin action until the following week after that. So we're going to have a bit of a break for internationals and then, of course, the domestic cup competition. But before I get going with the schedule for the Liga Bwin this week, let's just quickly, kind of a quick review of the past 7 days. First off, regarding the Liga Bwin, I think last week I called Estoril Benfica would be the best team last weekend. That turned out to be the case. Benfica going ahead early in the second minute on a Verissimo goal. Estoril came back in the 90th minute to level and walk away with the very valuable point. They're sitting in a fourth place tie right now with Braga and really having, as of course, as I've said, a very surprising season. We saw a great result last week, great match between Famalicão and Vizela. I've actually started to really like Vizela. This is a club promoted, something like in their last eight matches. They have six draws, one win, and one loss. And the one loss was against Benfica when Rafa scored that very, very, I think, what was it, 95th minute goal, fifth minute of stoppage time. They were very tough, and they were almost going to pick up the three wins at Famalicão until Famalicão scored, if I recall, I think it was on a header in the eighth minute of stoppage time. An absolutely devastating result for Vizela. But Vizela didn't lose. They've been just really terrific, middle of the pack. They're currently in a 12th place and really having a good season. Really need to give them a shout out. Famalicão pick up a much needed point and now go up to 16th place. Another great result last week. Braga, in addition to what they did this week, beating Ludogorets of Bulgaria, they are now unbeaten in their last 10 matches, both in Liga, Taça de Portugal, and the Europa League. They won at home against Portimonense 3-0. And Braga, not the most recent break, but the one before that, President Salvador coming out, expecting more from his team, kind of putting a little bit of pressure on the squad. Carlos Carvalhal was asked in one of the press conferences what he thought about Salvador's remark, and he agreed with them. At that point in time, Braga wasn't doing very well, at least not well for a team that's expected to compete to be in the top three, to be in kind of that Champions League hunt. But they have managed to pull it together now. Ricardo Horta with a three assists against Ludogorets. And they seem to be clicking on all cylinders. And now they're going to be playing at Benfica this weekend, you know, which I'll get to in a bit of a moment. And then, of course, we saw Sporting, very narrow 1-0 win, another goal by Coates, who seems to save Sporting a lot. 1-0 win at home against Vitória de Guimarães. And another very interesting match last week. Santa Clara beat Porto in the Taça of the Liga 3-1 at home. And I said, look, after you beat a team like that, which their new manager said was one of their best wins in history, you got to come back into the weekend action and get the 3 points. And they almost did, grabbing a draw almost at Bissad, who was playing for the first time this season in the Jamor. It looks like the pitch situation there has been resolved. But Bissad, come out of the blue with a goal by Pedro Nuno in the third minute of stoppage time. And Santa Clara, only a few days after beating Porto, suffer a very disappointing 2-1 loss to Bissau. By the way, how many matches, it seems like, definitely three of them last week with regard to Estoril, Benfica, Familiar Kong, Vizela, and then this match, Bisat, Santa Clara. And there was probably one other one. Were scored in stoppage time to decide the game. Just a lot of close competition. And then, of course, this week in the Champions League, look, it was a very good week for Portuguese clubs. I said that Benfica, just a huge uphill battle to go to Bayern. I mean, Bayern 9 goals in 2 matches against Benfica. I mean, you know, Bayern is just way, way, way ahead of Benfica. And, you know, we thought if maybe Benfica could snatch a draw, that would be a great result. But that did not happen. Having said that, even though Barcelona did win at Dynamo Kiev, Benfica is still in the hunt for second place. They're going to have to obviously win their last 2 matches. Worst case scenario, that match in the last match day against Dynamo Kiev could decide the Europa group. But they're still in it. Question is whether or not they can battle for second place against Barcelona, who I know has an interim manager, and we'll see if they'll have this new manager before they play next time. Sporting with a big win against Besiktas. The only thing that I think we need to calm Sporting fans down with, though, is, you know, Turkish clubs are usually tough. Portuguese clubs have had some success, but sometimes Portuguese clubs haven't had some success against them. But you did beat the last place team in the group twice, and thankfully because Ajax beat Dortmund twice, Sporting is now back in the hunt. But it's important to realize that you have the 6 points against, which, you know, based on what we've seen, and this is, of course, what we've seen, that Besiktas is the weakest team in the group. You've got to be happy with that. But now you've got to play Dortmund coming up in the next match day later this month, and you need to win, and you need to win by at least 2 goals to try to put yourself in a position for second place. You'll have a big crowd that game. Dortmund will be coming to Portugal. I mean, it's there for the taking for Sporting. It's really all up to you. I mean, it's the table is set. But if you're Sporting, again, you've got to really grab those 3 points at home in your next match day. Porto, I think Sergio Conceição said it best. No moral victories. They walked away with a 1-1 draw, a point in the San Siro, which historically for Portuguese clubs is never a very easy place. But Conceição, which seems to have the formula of always getting points against Italian teams, does it again. Obviously, they wish they would have won if they didn't have the own goal by Mbemba. But a very, very good result for Porto, nevertheless. And now it looks like this next match day against Atletico will go a long way toward deciding who's going to be in second place. So the group of death, Porto comes out of it in second place. Great for Portuguese football. Obviously, even better for Porto. But I think if you're a Porto fan, I think, you know, again, Porto, you know, Liverpool result aside, has really had a terrific form this year and last year in the Champions League. And, you know, you got to give a lot of credit. I know a lot of people that don't like Conceição. I see it a lot on social media. There's a lot of fans that think his time's up. But you're tied for first place. Your team is battling for second place in the Champions League. Yeah, you didn't win the Taça da Liga, which is a big black eye for the club. That competition they never won. But overall, I think if you're a Porto fan and you don't like Sergio Conceição, believe me, there are a lot of people out there that would love to have him as manager. So give the guy a little bit of credit. Braga, again, big run, unbeaten in their last 10, beat Ludogorets at home. Braga, at the very least, I was reading this tonight and didn't get a chance to tweet it out, or I don't think it was tweeted out, was the fact that even if they finish third in their group, they'll go into a playoff with one of the second place teams in that Europa Conference League. But I think Braga right now is in pole position for a top two finish. I don't think they want to do any playoff. And I'm not really sure. Even I got to look into that a little bit more, what that means. You know, obviously that would probably be played next February. But I think if you're Braga, you want to qualify. It helps you with your coefficient. It helps you, of course, as well, I believe, be seated better for the Europa draw. Remember, the Europa draw is a lot tougher of a competition, because they took so many of the weaker teams and put it into the Europa Conference League, the third competition. So if you're Braga, you want to finish first and put yourself in a position to be seeded. So Portuguese clubs basically this week, very good week. 2 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw. France is running away with 5th place. I think I told you, you know, with as many clubs they have left in Europe, not to mention that some of their clubs are going to make a big run, probably PSG in the Champions League. I still believe that. Very, very, you know, tough to see the fact that at one point we were in fifth place, but that looks to be kind of disappearing on us right now. But nevertheless, Portugal, I think, as long as they solidify sixth place, they'll at least be able to keep themselves in a position to try to keep getting three teams in the Champions League. So that's a bit of a review. And then when we look ahead to this weekend, again, the last weekend before we will have a several-week break for, of course, you know, the international break, we want to essentially see Liga BWIN action coming back into play. I'm actually looking at this right now on the schedule. We won't be seeing anything until the weekend of 26, 27, and 28. That is, well, that's actually Thanksgiving weekend in the States, so that's going to be a very long ways away. So enjoy your Liga BWIN this action. Three matches, in my opinion, that are worth talking about. First off, really excited about this Vizela Estoril match. Again, Vizela, great results in their last eight with six wins, one draw, and one loss. Estoril, tremendous story in fourth place, tied with Braga. These are the two teams that were promoted up this season. This is a very, very good match. One, the team that wants to stay in the middle of the pack. The other one that wants to compete for top four and at the very least get qualified for Europa and do battle it out with Braga. That's a very good match. Santa Clara, for about the second time in like 2.5 weeks, will be hosting Porto. So Porto, okay, they were at home playing Boavista. Then they had to go play in Italy, fly back, Olival train. Now they got to fly back to the Azores again after having been there about, what, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And they're going back to basically the place where they lost 3-1, obviously a different competition now with the Liga BWIN. But this is a very interesting match because Santa Clara, a new manager, a manager to basically put in his ideas. Disappointing result last week with, you know, losing at B-Sad. But if you're Porto, you're going back to, again, a place where you had an ugly result. If you're Santa Clara, are you still going to be motivated by the result? This is a very dangerous match for Porto. This is a good position for Santa Clara to be in. But at the end of the day, as you'll see with my picks, I still expect Porto to pull it out. And I think the highlight match, and again, you know, you don't mention it because they're Benfica or Porto or Sporting, you know, always talking about the big three. You do because it is. Benfica Braga is definitely the big match of this weekend. Benfica, of course, lost first place, as Rui Costa hopes to say only briefly. 1 point behind Porto and Sporting. Braga on this big run all the way up to fourth place with Estoril with 19 points. They beat Benfica. They are not only going to make Benfica even have a worse time of it this past month. They'll put themselves right back in the position to get into the top three, or at the very least, be within striking distance of third place. And that's, of course, the match. Last match, by the way, of the weekend before we go into the international break. That is just a very big match. Benfica had a number of players injured this week. They still don't have Seferovic, last I saw. And some newspapers say he'll be ready. Some don't. You know, it's just always hard to believe until the match day squad list comes out. But Benfica Braga, I think, is obviously your big match of the weekend on BTV. Don't be surprised if there's about 45,000 people in the stands. And I think that's really your biggest match of the weekend. And by the way, the big three last week all played on Saturday because of European competition that came this week. Now this weekend, they're all playing on Sunday. And again, very rare that happens. I think last year it happened on a few occasions on, I think it was in January of last season. This year we're having it happen back-to-back, and that is, of course, because of the international break that's coming up. So a great Sunday of action. Vizela Estoril, I think, is your marquee matchup on Saturday. And then, of course, you've got Santa Clara Porto, Passos de Ferreira Sporting, and Benfica Braga will be playing on Sunday. Things get kicked off on Friday. Gil Vicente Roca, Boavista, Familia Kong. Boavista's kind of been dropping a bit. They really need to get some points at home, and they'll have a chance to do that against Familia Kong, which is starting to turn the corner a little bit. They seem to be improving a little bit more in terms of, well, they're not in last place. That's Santa Clara's title right now. but they are getting a little bit better. Second division report, Benfica B right now owning the second division with 23 points and a four-point lead over second place Feirense from Santa Maria de Feira. Benfica B really on a roll. One has won, I think, something like their last. They're unbeaten in their last six matches. They haven't lost since they lost 4-2 against Casa Pia, which right now is the third place team in the league. But what's interesting also is a few weeks ago, Rio Ave and Feirense were 1-2. And now you look at them, and Feirense is second, and Rio Ave is in a third-place tie with Casa Pia. So things have quickly changed in the second division. To me, two very good matches this weekend to look out for. To me, the highlight match is Academico do Viseu, taking on second-place Feirense, essentially fifth place against second place. Academico, obviously with the no do Viseu. You know, this is a big time for them. They can pick up the 3 points. They'll make an argument for them to battle for promotion next year. Again, Benfica B cannot be promoted. They're only playing for the second division title. So essentially, if Benfica were to continue in first, then second and third place becomes the new thing to look out for, because those are the teams that will get promoted. Academica, by the way, Academica, last place. Academica, only 2 draws. In 9 matches, this is a club that plays in one of the bigger cities in Portugal, Coimbra, beautiful Coimbra, big college town, university town. And they only have 2 points. And they better be careful, because Vila Franquense is in 15th place and they have 9 points. So they're 7 points ahead. And the reason why I'm saying that is, you know, you keep burying yourself and not getting any points. All of a sudden, it's going to be, you know, you're going to be like 8, 9, 10 points out of 15th place. And you're almost relegating yourself already. And not that, just that, your only goal would be for 16th place to get into that playoff with the third place team, in terms of getting into the playoff with the Feirense. Yeah, you would essentially be looking to do a playoffs if you were to finish in 16th place. But the bottom line with Academica is a big club, a club that up until about 4 or 5 years ago were playing in the first division in a stadium that I recall was also used for Euro 2004. And now, of course, there's not really a lot to say about it. So very disappointing result there for Academica so far. So again, a big weekend. Benfica B leading the way in first place with 23 points, 7 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses and 1 draw. They have also the best goal difference in the league of plus 12. And then Feirense, 19 points. Casa Pia, Rio Ave, 18 points each. And that's really your top four in the second division. My picks, 2-2 last week. I am now down to 70% correct. At one point 3 weeks ago, I was 78%. So I pretty much suck lately, I guess is what you could say. But last week, I correctly predicted that Porto would beat Boavista. I said the score would be 3-0. It wound up being 4-1, if I recall correctly. So I got the result with Porto right. They did win. And I'm right. Yep, it was 4-1 last week. I also predicted that Benfica would beat Estoril 2-1, and up until the 90th minute when Estoril scored that goal, I was looking pretty good to be right. So I lost Benfica in that one. I also lost. I had Santa Clara again coming off their win against Porto in the Taça of the League. I thought they would play a lot better, but of course I had predicted them to win 2-1, but they lost 2-1. So that was my second incorrect result last week, but I did get it back. Benfica B, I said, would beat Leixões 2-1, and that's what happened. So last week I was 2 for 2. I am now 28 correct, 12 incorrect, and I am down to 70% of my predictions, looking to stay at 75% correct by the time I get to May. So a bit of a disappointing result this. But again, I'm not picking. You know, by the way, you know how many times I've lost a pick because of a late goal? You know, it's happened, I think, 4 or 5 times in the last 3 to 4 weeks. Not an excuse. The result is what it is, but I was oh so close. Predictions for this weekend. And again, I'm only going to be picking the tough matches. I'm not going to be taking any cupcakes. No ball of the Berlins for me on this one. I'm going to go difficult. I'm going to predict that Estoril, even though I like what Vizela is doing, Estoril will beat Vizela 2-0. Estoril is the away team in that one. Benfica, despite all their problems, Braga, despite everything that they're doing, I know Braga has beaten Benfica, I think, something like two of the last three times, including the most recent time they met in the Taça de Portugal, where Braga beat them 2-0. Braga also beat them last year, if you remember, in the semifinals of the League Cup back in January. Also beat Benfica 2-1. So Braga has won two of the last three. Before that, I think Benfica had beaten Braga something like five or six in a row. I think there was like a few 6-2 results in there, if I recall correctly. But I'm going to predict that Benfica will win at home 2-0 to Braga. This is sports. Sometimes you think you know what's going to happen, and sometimes that doesn't happen, and I think that's what's going to happen this week. And I think everybody's expecting maybe a draw or Braga will pull it out, because Benfica right now is just not very good, but I'm going to predict that Benfica will win 2-0. I'm predicting Porto right now will go to the Azores, and they will be Santa Clara 3-0. And then I also am predicting between Académico de Viseu Feirense, I'm predicting a 1-1 draw. So I'm predicting Vizela, Estoril. Estoril will win. I'm predicting Benfica, Braga. Benfica will win. I'm predicting Porto, Santa Clara. Porto will win. And I'm predicting a draw between Viseu and Feirense. And those are my picks for this weekend, round 11. And again, 70% correct. Looking to get back on track. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, and this is my fast and furious section. This is where I'm going to essentially go point by point on a lot of the big topics this week and give you my opinion. First off, Nuno Espírito Santo, of course, let go at Spurs. Great manager, Nuno. I just don't know if he's a great manager for a club like the Spurs. Great job at Rio Ave. Did a great job at Porto, although if you remember this, when he was at Porto, I think he went something like 4 to 5 weeks in November without scoring a goal. You can look it up that season he was there. And he had some great players. Jota, a young Jota, if I recall, was on loan from Atletico at the time. And he had a great team at the time. But Porto did okay. They were all right. Then he went to Spain, if I recall, Valencia. And then he went to the Wolves. And the thing about Wolves, I think, is having all those Portuguese players. And not because they're Portuguese players, but they're Portuguese players that can not only speak the language, but also understand him and his style. I think that really helped him out at Wolves. And, you know, Wolves, by the way, when he took over, when they were in the championship, they had nowhere to go but up. And I think he was in a great situation there. But I think maybe it was a little bit too much for him going to Spurs. Very disappointing to see a Portuguese manager not managing a big club like that anymore. Just a tough situation. Look, Nuno will be back managing in Europe. You're not going to see him go back to Portugal anytime soon, but you are going to see him try to take a job in one of the other big leagues in Europe, or perhaps maybe he'll get another shot in England. We'll see. But very disappointing result. There were stories, by the way, that Paulo Fonseca, who's been mentioned for several jobs in the Premier League, was a candidate. There was even some mention of Sergio Conceição. But at the end of the day, Conte is the man that's been hired by Spurs. And of course, that, you know, why people would say Fonseca and Conceição, I don't know. From everything I read, I know from talking, I think it was the sports director at Spurs, that Conte was always one of their big candidates. Fernando Santos in the call-up, talking a little Portugal here, Renato Sanches and João Félix are back. Santos was asked about bringing them back and leaving other players out, and he said that number one, both of these players weren't called up, especially Felix the last two times, because he was injured. And obviously you could tell that he's back in the mix, and he's definitely one of the guys, 25, 26, 27 guys, that Fernando Santos is going to call up. No Rafael Guerreiro, no Gonçalo Guedes. I'm not sure if Rafael is injured. I don't think so. So they are out. No Otávio as well. Of course, great story playing for Porto, getting his citizenship papers, but he is also not in the call-up as well. But Portugal, again, two big matches coming up. Obviously, they'll be playing next Thursday. And it's very simple for Portugal. They can't afford to drop any points. They want to win the group because that's what Fernando Santos is going to tell you. All the players that go to the press conference are going to tell you that they want to win. They don't play to draw. They don't play to lose. They play to win. And Portugal, of course, you know, the match I think that's going to come down to against Serbia will likely be the one that decides the group. But I think if you're Portugal right now, you know, the goal is very simple. It's to go over there and pick up the 3 points in Ireland. Even if they draw, they've still put themselves in a must-win situation against Serbia. But if Portugal wins, then obviously Portugal will be looking to come home in Estádio da Luz. Remember, this match is in the Luz. It was initially supposed to be played in Alvalade, but they moved it to the Luz because of some concerns over a lot of matches being played in Alvalade. There's been some concerns about that in Alvalade. But it's very simple. Portugal needs to win, even though they had a very difficult time until Ronaldo's heroics in that match in the Algarve. Portugal, you know, they're going to be playing in front of a full house. You've probably heard about the ticket controversy. It is a hot ticket, like going to a big concert. A lot of money being spent so people can go and watch the match. And apparently there's going to be a full house. I think they're playing in Dublin. And Portugal needs the 3 points. They win the group. It's all good for their FIFA coefficient. And obviously it just helps Portugal. Portugal right now I think is ranked 8th in the world. Any disappointing results, by the way, coming up this month would only hurt that ranking. Portugal, by the way, is clearly top 5 in the world. You know, I know the FIFA rankings are based on points and all that, and I won't go into that right now, but Portugal is clearly a top 5 team in the world, and they got to demonstrate that and get these 6 points that are coming up. There's no meaningless friendly against Qatar. Serbia is playing Qatar in the meaningless friendly before they play Portugal, so they have the benefit of not necessarily playing their best players against Qatar, and they might have that advantage. But I'm also one of those that believes when you have the talent like you do in Portugal, you know, and I've always just said that sometimes we rely too much on Cristiano, that it's not necessarily a bad idea to see if these guys can finally continue to gel. Bruno and Cristiano have seemed to have been doing very well at United, but at the end of the day, we need a little bit more of this in Portugal. It's one thing to beat Luxembourg or any of these other countries that we should beat by big scores. I don't think these next two matches will be that easy, especially with Ireland. And again, most of the players that were expected to be called up were called up. I think the biggest question right now for Fernando Santos is, you know, who's going to be the best 11? Who is he going to play? I don't think there'll be surprises, and look for all the probable lineups and everything on the Twitter feed in the coming days. Cristiano Ronaldo, what more can you say? Another late goal to help out United. United as a whole is not having necessarily the greatest of seasons for when you think about how much money is being spent on the club, but certainly Cristiano is doing his part. Bruno was doing his part before he got there. By the way, how much are the Portuguese doing their part to help Manchester in this past year? Let's think about that for a second, Manchester United fans. How much between Bruno and especially Cristiano have they really helped out United during these past year? I mean, that's pretty darn good. But at the end of the day, nobody cares about what happens 6 months ago. They care about what happened yesterday, and they care about what might happen tomorrow. But Cristiano, you know, definitely helping out United, scoring these late goals. And look, you know, Cristiano was doing great in Juventus, although I don't remember him scoring as many late goals the way he has been lately over there. But obviously, right now, United needs to do a little bit better, and they need to basically support what he is doing. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, you know, maybe he's lost it. You know, he did great at Juventus, but, you know, they didn't win the Champions League. And look at what happened to them against Liverpool. And I think they've got like 2 draws now in the Champions League. I believe both of them were away. And I tell people that when he was playing for Real Madrid, I mean, don't get me wrong, Juventus has great players, United has great players. There was something about those Real Madrid team with Cristiano that just gelled together, that just worked together. Cristiano did what Cristiano did, but there were also other players that were really stepping up. And I've always said that, you know, 0-0, 1-1, 2-1, whatever, a player like Cristiano will help you get the goal. But when you're playing a Liverpool, when you're playing a City, when you're playing in the Champions League, I don't know if you could expect Cristiano to bail you out the way Cristiano bails out Portugal against like an Ireland. you know, when he scores all these goals like the way he does. I think Cristiano is Cristiano, and I think Cristiano would be even better if the supporting cast around him really, really stepped up a lot more. And I only say that because they play for one of the biggest clubs in the world. They're making a lot of money. They're playing on the biggest stage of the world every week on television. And it's, not, again, not to say that they're bad players. I'm just saying you got to play up to, you know, the spotlight. And right now you're kind of far away from the spotlight. So Cristiano, again, heroics. Coming back, there's no doubt he's a lot more comfortable in Manchester than he was in Turin. So he's doing pretty well. Big three report. I got to say a word about Vlatko Dimos. If you remember, I guess, what are we talking about? Was it last April? Vlatko Dimos, I think, went on national team duty with Greece, gave an interview that did not make JJ very happy. He kind of went into JJ's doghouse. After that, I don't recall. I don't think he played a lot, or if he did. But this year, it was supposed to be Helton's team. He, of course, started off the year, if you recall, suspended, because I think he was sent off in the dust of the Portugal final against Braga. And what happens? Basically, he has basically been the number one guy at the beginning of the season. He's had a great Champions League. He's made some big saves. Look, he was the goalkeeper that unfortunately allowed 9 goals. But I think if you really look at the situation, you look at who you're playing, and you look at the Swiss cheese defense that sometimes Benfica has had. He's made some big plays too, and he's made some big plays in the Liga. So Vlatko Dimos, I think at one point was not endearing himself to JJ, and I think JJ would have to admit that he's playing, you know, very, very well. Seferovic continues to be injured, and he continues to be out. Benfica right now, they really need a good win, and a good win would be beating Braga. It doesn't help when you've got to play the best team in the world in Bayern during this month. And outside of the Rafa goal against Vizela, and outside of winning, you know, going the extra mile to having to beat Trofense, going into extra time, results just haven't really been good for Benfica, and they really need a very, very good result. But Benfica last year, right around this time, was when they were struggling. If you remember, you know, if I recall, they lost at Boavista, and then after that, they just kind of weren't that great, and then all of a sudden in January, they really fell. So Benfica seems to be repeating that. Now, you got to remember, this is a club that's been playing since the beginning of August, but that really should be no excuse. They had a lot of great results in the month of August, but there's so much talent on this team, so much depth, that they really shouldn't be having these results. Sporting, you know, again, they are starting to win. They are starting to score. Again, don't take the results. Take them seriously, but don't take them to the way that you're going to start dreaming of Champions League qualification. But the bottom line is with Ignacio back, with Pote back, you know, everybody else seems to be firing on all cylinders. They got tested playing that League Cup match against Familia Kong, and they won after struggling against that team, especially Ruben Amorim. Sporting, I'm going to answer a listener reply to one of my tweets in a minute. I still think, again, I understand Benfica's got a lot of talent, but lately they haven't been playing well, so that kind of crosses them out. Porto, playing very well, yes. They haven't been dealt with a lot of injuries, but for me, I still think Sporting right now at this point in time is the best team in the league. You know, when you think about the fact that for about a month they were missing a few of their best players, a few of them, and they still have managed to do what they do. Remember, they're still in the hunt very easily for the Taça da Liga, whereas, you know, Porto's out and Benfica's in trouble going into the last match day. So across all competitions, they're well. And again, ugly loss against Ajax, but Sporting's got a chance against the Germans in a few weeks. There's no denying that they have a really, really good chance. So I think if you're Sporting, you got to be happy. And Ruben Amorim, again, a fantastic manager. I still wonder whether or not he'll be around next summer, whether or not people will trust that such a young manager. I think a lot of it depends on what he does in the Champions League. I think if they wind up getting bombed in these last two matches, then maybe he'll lose some of his, glow, so to speak, in Europe. You know, maybe people will realize that when he finally managed the team in a very big competition, they're not going to trust him. But I think he's doing very well. Porto, Really, really looking forward to this match with Santa Clara. Porto, again, just they have a better form in the Champions League. I don't know what it is. They just do. They have a much better form all the time in the Champions League. And the reality is right now, Luis Diaz is definitely one of the best players in Portugal. Tereme is just a fantastic goal scorer. I know Conceição feels that sometimes he gets punished by the refs because they think maybe he's playing it or he's faking it, but he's just really played well. And Evan Nielsen, I was talking a few weeks ago that this is a kid who was in a drought, you know, a player expected with big expectations to come to Portugal and be the next Brazilian great. And he's finally starting to show that. And definitely him and Tereme up top are starting to be very productive. Tony Martinez is really the one now that's kind of fallen off a bit. I know recently he had some good results. I think it was in the Cup. But the reality of the matter is he started off so strong. I think him and Pote were leading the league in goals back in early September. But since then, he's been okay. That's the best way I'll put it. He's not been awful. Just hasn't been great, but he's been okay. And I think that's the best way to say it. But the big three, all separated. Sporting Porto in first, Benfica in second, Braga Estoril right behind in third place, tied for third place. Just fantastic with the fact that we've got top five teams. Very, very competitive. And again, I think next year, 2022, is going to be very, very special. Players abroad, Bruno Lage, fantastic. Remember, started off the season, I think his first, he didn't score in his first two or three matches. I think even Arsenal, one of the Arsenal players, if I remember, had more goals than they did their entire team in the first two or three games. But since then, he's turned it around. Five games unbeaten, seventh in the Premier League. Bruno Lage, I've always thought it was a great manager. What he did at Benfica when he took over was pretty spectacular. But then, unfortunately, it also ended spectacularly bad. But doing very well in the EPL. He has definitely turned it around. And I said, I think a month or two ago, he was on the hot seat. But I need to give him his respect right now. He is definitely not on the hot seat. He is definitely doing very well. Jota with Celtic. Goes last year to La Liga on loan, doesn't do anything. I think he only had maybe one or two goals, and now he's really settled in at Celtic. I think Celtic have a buyout option, I think, of $7.5 million, which right now looks like a bargain. And it goes back to what I said about Cristiano. Sometimes it's about environment. Sometimes where you live, where you get up in the morning, if you're more comfortable, you'll be more comfortable at work. You'll be more comfortable playing. And I think maybe Jota playing for a... And by the way, Celtic is a very big club in Scotland. Major fans, 50, 60,000, like Benfica. The newspapers talk about them around the clock. The radios, the TV. They've got, I believe, their own TV channel. They are, even if they are not seen as one of the big clubs in Europe, they are, if you've ever been to Glasgow, along with the Rangers, what it's all about in football in Scotland. And this kid is doing a great job at a very big club. Look, playing for Benfica's coming up with Benfica. He knows what it's like to be with a big club, and I think that's working out for him. And again, young Portuguese player doing very well abroad, and I think you have to be very happy with that. Paulo Fonseca has been mentioned in several things, several teams. Newcastle, we saw him mentioned as well with Spurs. But Paulo Fonseca, for now, is still basically like all of us, following football on TV, soccer on TV, or following it on social media, or following it on, you know, on your computer screen. So Paulo Fonseca. But I will say this, though, the more times his names get mentioned for jobs, the more likely he will eventually get a job. Again, he had an opportunity in the United States with Atlanta United, very rich opportunity. Decided not to take it. And so far, he has spent more time in the news as a candidate than he is getting a job. So I think that's pretty interesting. Going to wrap this up like I always do, and that is to talk about my hometown team from Arcos do Valvege, my team in the districts. The team that I dream one day, maybe they'll make it up to the second division. There's no way they have the resources for the first division. Hell, if they even made it up into like the third division, I would be happy. But last week, they beat a team with a very ugly last name, Neves, and they beat them 4-1. And this weekend, first off, they're in a second place, and they are playing the first place team in their group, Valenciano. And the boys from Atletico Darku, Sunday at 1500 hours. So that's a very, very big match. In our little athletic Arcus de Valdez. Again, I've had a number of people reach out to me that are from the Arcus de Valdez region that didn't know that I was from that area, although my family's from outside of that, not too far away from a place called Suaiju. But interestingly also, I've had a lot of people from Punta Barca give me a hard time because that's the big rival, and it's always fun to beat them. But here we go. This weekend, they'll be at home taking on Valenciano. Again, battle of first and second place team. And again, the dream is to continue to move one up. And my dream, next time I go to Portugal, I may even do it at the expense up north of not going to a Braga or Porto game, is I am going to go see them play one more time at Estádio do Coutada. Folks, this has been another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast, your podcast for objectivity, telling it like it is. You're not going to like it, but I hope you understand that it comes not from the heart, but from the mind. Last weekend, a Liga B win. International break next week. Looking forward to that with Ireland and Serbia. I'll have more on that next week. Then, of course, we've got Taça de Portugal right after. And before you know it, in many of our ports of the world, it's going to be colder, going to be snowing. And the world is going to be changing. And so the weather, of course, is going to be changing. So I'm going to wrap up episode 92. Oh, actually, before I go, let me actually just go here very quickly. Had a gentleman on social media that reached out to me. His name was Crispy Chris. And he basically responded to one of my, when I was talking about, I basically have said, he's not the first one that I think Sporting is the best team in the league. My opinion of that is, like I've said, I think they've had the most injuries. I know other clubs have had injuries, but they've had the most. And basically he wrote back to me, he said, in my opinion, there's no definitive best team in Portugal right now. Sporting is good, but Porto's also good and more experienced with better forwards. Dias, Taremi, Avanilson, Pote, Paulinho, Sarabia. I suppose, I don't know. I'm going to go, I think they're both just as good. I don't know if you could say Porto's are better. They're definitely more experienced. I'll give you that in terms of overall playing with each other. I think a lot of those Porto players, especially Luis Dias, has been playing for a few years, 2 years now with Taremi. So Porto is also good and more experienced with better forward. Sporting Porto are neck and neck for best team ahead of Jekyll and Hyde, Benfica. That's a great description, by the way, Benfica, Jekyll and Hyde. Also, all of the big three have had key injuries, not just Sporting. Chris, again, Sporting, I think, is the best team in the league. We'll see when we get to Christmas and they do that fake mid-season award whether or not Sporting will be there. I think for me, Porto plays better in the Champions League than they do in the league, although Porto hasn't lost in one full calendar year. And I know Porto, you know, when they had those injuries with Pep, especially right before Liverpool, and of course Fabio Cardoso had to be thrown in. My only thing with Porto is they don't have a lot of depth. Sergio Oliveira played in the Taça de Portugal, had a few goals. He hadn't been playing a lot at that point, and that's depth. But there's not much besides that. I just don't think so. Pepe is a great player, but he's not what they thought he would be. Evan Nielsen's being a good player. But Sporting right now, if Paulinho gets going, if Sarabia starts to score, they would be, in my opinion, the best team in the league. But hey, you're not wrong. I'm probably not wrong. The only way this will be decided is once we get into the end of November and December and we see where the chips fall. And again, I'm not scared to say my opinion. I'm not scared to say who I think the best team in the league is. This is, again, my honest, objective opinion. I agree. Great word, Jekyll and Hyde. Benfica, right now, one team in August. They are a different team now, almost like Santa Clara is. But Benfica, the thing about football, soccer, is it takes one or two wins against a big team to make your fans go from unhappy to happy. And we'll see. We'll see. But my opinion, entitled to your opinion, but right now, Sporting, for me, is the best team in Portugal. We'll see if I'm right in a few months from now. But I appreciate your comments as well as everybody's comments. Whether it's whether it's negative, whether it's positive, always appreciate your comments. Folks, I'm going to wrap it up. Again, you can listen to this podcast, iTunes, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And again, always thank you for your comments and always looking forward to coming back on and talking about what we all talk about and what you take time out of your day to listen to. And that is, of course, Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer. Folks, please take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you next time.